Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, Willie Donick hanging with us, and Vancouver. The Predators in action tonight. Late putt drop, 9:30 against the Vancouver Canucks. We had some social media drama over the weekend, Willie. TD put out there that Jeffrey Simmons had scrubbed his Instagram of all of his Titans photos. He unfollowed the Tennessee Titans on Instagram, and he deleted his Twitter account. And I know that there are so many people that are probably rolling their eyes about that, but it is the reality of the NFL that we're living in. When players are in their, you know, early to mid-20s, that's the way that they communicate, is via social media. And considering everything that the Titans went through in the middle of their negotiations with A.J. Brown this past season, and understanding all of the subsequent drama that happened with A.J. Brown and the fact that A.J. Brown is no longer a Titan, I think that it's something to keep in mind. But I will say this. I do think that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a Titan next year. I think that I would put, if I had to put odds on it, like minus 500 odds that Jeffrey Simmons is a Titan next year, if you would agree.
Oh, I still am in full belief that this is going to get done. I just think the more I think about this, I just believe there's a little bit more of a who has the leverage question that's out there. And I think Jeffrey Simmons is just basically saying, I got the leverage, you know, I am going to play hardball. Don't try to take advantage of me because I have been a great team guy. I think that there are some people, and look, I put myself in this category. Sometimes I think I've been a little too loyal, and some people perceive that as, you know, hey, you know, he'll be there. He wants to be, he loves it here too much. He's not going to leave. You know, there's that. And I think maybe Jeffrey Simmons is trying to send a signal that, look, he has been all in. He said nothing but tremendous things about the Titans organization and his desire to be a Titan. And he has shown with his actions how much he wants to win for this team. But at the same time, you have to put your business hat on. And so I think maybe Jeffrey Simmons didn't even want to do this personally, but some of his group that's helping him get this job, this contract done, are saying, look, we've got to send some signals that you have the leverage here, and this is about business. This isn't about your love for the Titans. What? I don't know. I am just spitballing here. I have no idea. But I do think Jeffrey Simmons strikes me as a guy that is so deeply loyal to his team that sometimes that can get in the way of business. I think there were probably some people telling him last year that he could have taken it a little step further. He could have maybe changed the market for his position and got a deal done last year. It might have happened if he pushed it far enough, but he didn't want to do that.
But how far realistically can players push it? Why do you think that
he's one of the few players that has the leverage to do that, just because of how good he is, I think. Do you think he's in that category? I think there's very few players that are good enough to be able to push the envelope. The wide receivers kind of won the battle last year, right?
Yeah.
That were good enough to change the market.
I mean, look at Devontae. He was not going to play in a franchise tag, and he said he was unhappy in Green Bay. They trade him to Las Vegas. He gets paid big time. And I'm with you. I do think that Jeffrey Simmons wants to be in Tennessee. I think the Titans want him in Tennessee. So they at least have that as box 1A that needs to be checked. We have mutual interest and mutual desire for a future marriage. Great. I just don't think that players in general, and I do think that Jeffrey Simmons has plenty of skins on the wall to be able to negotiate a big-time contract. I just don't think under the current CBA that players have much leverage at all. Because the leverage that Jeffrey Simmons has to exercise, I think one is, you know, the social media dramatics that we saw, you know, Kyler Murray and his agent put out a full statement and, you know, getting all of that out there in the public. I think that's one form of leverage, if you even want to call it leverage. The second thing is Jeffrey Simmons can say, okay, I'm going to hold out. the Titans can say, okay, well, for every day of training camp that you miss, you're fined $40,000. That's what's listed in the CBA. So you could say, okay, well, Jeffrey Simmons could hold in. He could come to training camp and he can ride on the bike and be in the sand pit and be there to avoid the fine, but not actually participate. And he can do that as long as negotiations are going on. But the Titans can get to a point where they say, look, Jeffrey, if you're not going to participate, if you're not going to, you know, meet us halfway here, we'll suspend you for conduct detrimental to the team. So he doesn't really, that's the holding out, quote unquote, holding out or holding in is the only leverage he has. He can only do that, though, if he's willing to get that $40,000 fine. So if he decides to hold out all of training camp. Last year in 2022, the Titans had 33 training camp days. So if Jeffrey Simmons held out, let's apply that same number to 2023, that's $1.32 million that Jeffrey Simmons would be fined. That's a tenth of his salary under the fifth-year option. If I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know if I'm in the business of trading away 10% of my annual income just because I'm not participating in training camp. Add the three preseason games, that's $600,000 a pop. $1.8 million. So combined, if Jeffrey Simmons would want to hold out of all of training camp and all of preseason, that's $3.1 million. That's 30% of his fifth-year option.
Yeah, and look, I get all that. And we do have to remember, it's March the 6th.
There's time.
We're a long way from getting to that. And if it gets to that, then there's some real problems, for sure, with the relationship. And I think that's where Rand Carthon's head is right now, is I want to build the relationship with Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. I want to build a relationship with the players and the people that are doing this deal. And hopefully, you know, cooler heads prevail and there are practical, meaningful talks and you have a deal that is a win-win. But I do go back to the leverage question. I don't think you want that. Now, here's the thing that I thought about when you were throwing all that out there, because mm-hmm. you don't want it to get to that.
No.
I remember the Le'Veon Bell a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It was the worst case scenario, right, where there was that standoff and it went well into the season, went all the way through the season.
He sat out the
and
whole
they never,
season.
They never can. He sat out the whole season. That was crazy. But
he lost $14.4 million because of it.
But Le'Veon Bell, I don't think, had the leverage that Jeffrey Simmons has here. Now, the one thing that makes me wonder is if in the process, right, if we're going through these months and Rand Carthon looks around and says, look, we're going to go down this road. We might shop around Derrick Henry and trade him. We might trade Ryan Tannehill while we're at it, and let's just start over. And if you're a team that's not going to win anyway, then you could force the holdout and say, you know, we're probably not going to win either way, so we got to get this deal done. He can't go anywhere. We just have to get – we're going to try to win this battle while we're in a rebuilding mode. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. And, again, we come back to the question we've always had is Mike Vrabel really going to sign up for something like that? So let's just hope it doesn't get to that, to you know, where we sit here on March the 6th. But I am curious where they're going with this roster, because it is all tied together with the other story we've been talking about mm-hmm. today, is are they actually throwing Derrick Henry's name in there as a, hey, look, what would you give us for Derrick Henry? We're just kind of kicking this around. We have a lot of different decisions we've got to make here as we reshape the roster. We've got a new GM. What does Mike Vrabel think of all this?
The only thing that I think I believe to be true about how Mike Vrabel feels about all of this is what you just said. He doesn't have any interest in rebuilding. I don't think he has any interest of taking, you know, five steps back in this next season in order to take leaps and bounds forward. I think the unfortunate reality of in the NFL with coaches, whenever you go through a rebuild, probably won't survive it. And that's I think Mike Vrabel knows that. But if the Titans do rebuild, they're so bad for a year, and there's no guarantee that rebuild or that step back is only limited to a year. It could be a five-year period where the Titans just aren't very good. I don't think anyone in that building, Amy Adams Strunk included, has any interest in that. So I think that's the only thing that I know for certain how Mike Vrabel feels. How he feels about contract negotiations or shopping Derrick Henry, I don't know. But I think you kind of almost have to be open to anything and everything at this point. In my opinion, anything and everything short of Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, so that's what makes me curious. If this does take a while to get done, you know, how does Jeffrey Simmons view it? Is, you know, if as he's negotiating, he watches them go into some level of a rebuilding mode. Does that change his outlook? But the fact remains, he is under contract for this year with the Titans, so he can't really go anywhere. So how far would he want to take it? I really hope it doesn't get to that. This is I know everybody's sort of scarred from what happened last year with A.J. Brown. Doesn't mean it has to happen again this year.
Right. And I totally fair to be scarred about that. And I think that's also another reason why I don't think the Titans are going to be doing anything with Jeffrey Simmons, is the outside perception of what happened last year. And we'll get into that coming up next of, you know, the only reasons why, or the only areas that I see any avenue of why the Titans wouldn't re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. We'll get into that coming up next. And we've got a bunch of phones, really, so we'll get into those coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Man, I got to ask you, is it your preference to be here? I mean, this is all in the NFL.
Yeah, man. When I first got drafted here, you know, they believed in me. You know, coming and picking me up injured, you know. So I was just happy to be here. I'm happy to... Like, Tennessee is home for me, and the people here, the fans here, like the community here, just when I'm out, you know, going out to dinner, you know, it's great. The people here is very nice. So, like, just being here in Tennessee, this is why I want to play the rest of my career, and hopefully that happens. So.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons at the end of the season, and I think that just reiterates what I think we all already knew. Jeffrey Simmons wants to be here. Jeffrey Simmons wants to be a Titan. But I think what Jeffrey Simmons wants more than anything, rightfully so, is to get paid. He wants his money. Every player should. And every player should do whatever it takes, the negotiations and the leveraging, in order to get paid. But I think that there's only two instances where the Titans, where Jeffrey Simmons would not be a Titan in 2023. Because I think we are all in agreement that, at least I believe, it is more likely than not that Jeffrey Simmons will be a Titan. Now, I also thought the same thing about A.J. Brown, so, you know, what do I know? But I think that there's really only two instances. The first instance of Jeffrey Simmons does get traded and is not a Titan in 2023 is if the Titans do decide to just go for it at the quarterback position. That they package Jeffrey Simmons together with a couple of firsts and some mid-round picks in order to move up in the draft to get their quarterback of the future. I don't think that that's likely. I also don't think that that would be very wise of the Titans to do that, but that is one area where I see the Titans moving on from Jeffrey Simmons would be some sort of ulterior motive or some sort of, you know, a package to move on moving forward. And I think the second thing would be the Titans just don't have enough money. Like, the Titans just absolutely positively cannot trade Jeffrey Simmons. And the negotiations get to a point where none of us want them to go, where it's just a standoff between the two, where Jeffrey Simmons is in the sand pit at training camp, where the Titans aren't moving, and it really, like, they are just not going to budge. And Jeffrey Simmons wants somewhere between, like, the Aaron Donald and the DeForest Buckner money of probably low 30s. Aaron Donald makes about 32, just shy of 32. DeForest Buckner makes 21. I would think Jeffrey Simmons probably wants in the ballpark of 30, where he's not moving off of that, and the Titans aren't moving off of, we're just going to exercise your fifth-year option or sign you to a lower contract, where the Titans just absolutely positively don't have the money to do it, and they have no other option but to trade him, where it gets to the point of, like, the Devontae Adams, Green Bay Packers, you know, butting of heads, and they just cannot move forward. I also don't see that happening, but those are the only two dramatic instances where I see Jeffrey Simmons no longer being a Titan in 2023.
Well, the first one of the trade, to me, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that would be wise. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But let's get to the second part, because, yep, I think that's really the key here, because I do think his market value should be in the neighborhood of Aaron Donald, because he's young. He's been such a difference maker. And so I'm with you. He's in that ballpark, right? That's his market value. But let's get to, they don't have the money. That article that came out last year where he had some quotes, and it was hard to interpret exactly what the quotes meant, but I have always wondered in the back of my mind, you know, how deep are the pockets of the Titans with deals like this, especially in the context of what it does with other deals. Right. If you got to move all the money together to pay the one big signing bonus, to write the big check, but it keeps you from doing other things that you want to do. You know, is that where we're seeing, you know, other organizations that do have deeper pockets take advantage of the loopholes and all the flexibility you have in the salary cap? I have wondered that for the last year or so, and I have wondered that that affected all their willingness to trade A.J. Brown, right? It is becoming a little bit more known, because I'll tell you this, Caroline, for a long time, I just assumed that in the NFL, everybody had the same amount of money to spend. Mm-hmm. Everybody's dealing with the same salary cap, the revenue sharing, the TV money. Everybody should have the financial means to do the deals that you want to do under the rules. I was under that assumption, weren't you?
Yes, but the way that the
we've heard otherwise in the last couple of years, right? That there are some teams that don't really have the ability to write the cash checks, you know, the big checks to do everything you might be able to do under the rules. Other teams do have the deeper pockets to do it, the revenue streams. Chris Mortensen was on our show last year around this time, right where the A.J. Brown stuff was starting to brew. And he was laying this out to us, and I really took note, because he used the Titans as an example of one of the old school family models of ownership that is around, but they don't quite have the deep pockets. They don't have a stadium that has the revenue streams that, for example, the Cowboys would be an extreme example, right? They've got their own stadium. They've got this huge revenue streams, and they've got an owner that's got really, really deep pockets.
Rams are the same way.
Yeah, there's other teams that kind of fall into that category. Yeah, the Rams are a great example. So this is a test for the Titans. And they've never really come up and said, yeah, we're having trouble with this kind of thing. I don't know that they would ever admit it. But I do wonder if there were any restraints or if there are any guidelines that the GMs, and now we use Rand Carthon getting into this, if he's got any parameters or any restraints on how to get this deal done. I don't know.
Well, I would say, if cash is the issue, and cap and cash are different, cash is the check that Amy Adams Strunk has to write and give to Jeffrey Simmons or any other player on that roster, of money coming out of her bank account. If that's the problem, and it's still early. The Titans are using their negotiating power. They don't want to give up more cash than they have to. But if that's the problem, if that's what will eventually hold up this deal, if this deal does get held up, knowing how much the Titans value Jeffrey Simmons, then I would say that maybe cash could be a problem. But looking at 2022, Titans in cash spent, not cap, but actual cash spent, the Titans spent just shy of $222 million. $222,740,088, to be exact. Right now, since the Titans have released Bud Dupree, the Titans have active cash spent around $135,000, including the dead cash money that they owe Bud Dupree. And that also includes the $10.75 million that Jeffrey Simmons is owed on the fifth-year option. Now, we don't know if the Titans are going to exercise the fifth-year option, but that is about a $100 million difference. Now, I don't know what Amy Adams Strunk bank account looks like, especially considering she's going to have to give up a half a billion dollars for the stadium coming up. So maybe Amy Adams Strunk is looking at it like, look, I know we spent $222 million last year, but I got a big, you know, check that I'm going to have to write in a few years. So we cannot continue to spend that much money because we're building a new stadium. But right now where it stands, the Titans are a little under $100 million less than they were last year in terms of cash spent, if that means anything. But I think that the stadium deal and the amount of money that Amy Adams Strunk is going to have to put up, the entire Strunk Adams family, rather, that could affect the amount of active cash that the Titans have to spend on Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, it's just something to keep in the back of your mind. I can't. When this type of thing comes up, what Chris Mortensen said, that not all teams have the same revenue streams. And it is easier in some of the bigger markets where you have a stadium that brings you more revenue, mm-hmm. and owners who have deeper pockets. It makes it a little bit easier to do the bigger deals. So that's just something to keep in mind as we go forward here. But I do think that until we hear otherwise, the priority is to sign Jeffrey Simmons,
yeah.
and go from there. But as they go from there, right? I still think he's at the forefront of everything. But what happens to the rest of the roster, I think, is very much in flux.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that dictates the cash. That dictates the amount of money that they have to put up. What do they do with the quarterback position? I still think it's Ryan Tannehill, but I don't know. I don't know what their plan is. They're having a whole lot of secret conversations at the NFL Combine, clearly. So I don't know what the plan is moving forward. But the important thing here is Jeffrey Simmons is still under contract. The Titans can still exercise the fifth-year option. I don't think that's what Jeffrey Simmons wants. If I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I want my contract. I want my payday. I want my $30 million, you know, a market fair deal moving forward. If I'm the Titans, I might have to say, look, I can't do that for you this year. We just simply do not have the cash. And I don't know if that's true or not. But that might be where the Titans are coming from. That the Titans really right now, where I see it, they've got all the leverage. Unless Jeffrey Simmons wants to, you know, pay the fines for not showing up to training camp or, you know, hold out, quote unquote, that doesn't seem like a very wise option to me if money is in the conversation. But where it stands to me, the Titans might be in a really difficult position with cash, but also they've got all the leverage. So I still think Jeffrey Simmons will be a Titan next year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. First domino fell on the quarterback carousel. What does that mean, and what could it possibly mean for the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Willie is off to Predators duty, so the suit is hopping in. Chase McCabe, how we doing? Thanks for hopping in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Caroline.
Always happy to have you. So we're breaking down Derek Carr to the Saints. So this morning on Get Up, I'm listening to Jeremy Fowler, you know, talk to the rest of the Get Up squad. And this is probably like 8, 9 o'clock this morning. And Jeremy Fowler says, I think the Jets are the front runners in the Derek Carr sweepstakes. Okay, I'm watching this. I'm clipping this, sending it to Nick. Like, okay, like Derek Carr to the Jets could happen very quickly. Less than an hour later, I see a report from Adam Schefter. I know Ian Rappaport had a report as well, but coming out from all of the NFL insiders that, no, the Saints are now the front runner, and a deal could happen as early as today. And I'm thinking, what? Like, this happened quickly. Okay, like, hello, NFL quarterback carousel whiplash. So now it's confirmed. Derek Carr headed to the Saints, and I haven't seen contract details yet.
I just saw Pro Football Talk has 4 years, $150 million.
For what's the term?
4 years.
4 years, $150 million. How much guaranteed?
That's is not in there. Just up to $150 million, $100 million total guarantees. Okay, wow.
Whoo!
Okay.
Welcome to New Orleans, Derek Carr.
Okay.
I think that New Orleans wants to get off the quarterback carousel. New Orleans doesn't want to become Indianapolis. But okay, Derek Carr to New Orleans. Now, that is the much-awaited first domino to fall in the quarterback carousel. Because Derek Carr to New Orleans, great. We can talk about that all day long. But I think the biggest story is, what does that mean for every other quarterback-needy team in the NFL? What does that mean for any other quarterback on the quarterback carousel? Derek Carr now headed to New Orleans. I always viewed Derek Carr to the Jets and to the Jets as being their fallback option. Like, the Jets were just kind of, you know, saying Derek Carr, like Jets GM came out and said that they view Derek Carr could be a potential Hall of Fame quarterback in New York. Like, I viewed the Jets like really kind of, you know, stroking Derek Carr's ego over the last couple of months to keep Derek Carr as a backup option, but they weren't willing to pull the trigger on Derek Carr because my understanding was, hey, if you go with Derek Carr and then Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, hey, I want to come to New York, well, then now your entire fan base is enraged,
right?
Because Aaron Rodgers was on the table and you go with Derek Carr. No disrespect to Derek Carr. He ain't Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So now, what does this mean for the New York Jets? Because where it stands right now, the Jets either can go all in on Aaron Rodgers, or they're going to be stuck in Jimmy Garoppolo land. But I think that the interesting thing here, too, is now that Derek Carr is off the table, the New York Jets' fallback option is off the table. What does that mean for Ryan Tannehill and how attractive he is to the New York Jets? We know that there was interest there for the Jets and Tannehill, and that makes sense. You know, Tannehill is a veteran quarterback. Tannehill could come in and be plugged into this New York Jets team, and they could win enough. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he would be attractive. So now that the fallback option is off the table and it's really Aaron Rodgers or bust, what does that mean for Ryan Tannehill?
So there's two things that have kind of crept into my head today. And Michelle and I talked about it a little bit this morning on our show. But number one, the longer this goes with Aaron Rodgers, the more I'm starting to think just because it's Aaron Rodgers and he's such a you-know-what, that he ends up going back to Green Bay. And he once again hijacks an offseason to make everybody go, oh, where's he going to go? Is he going to the Jets? Is he going to the Titans? Is he going to the Raiders? And it's like, eh, I'm going to stay in Green Bay, finish my career there. That's starting – I'm starting to feel like that's going to happen. And then, in turn, that once again ups the price on Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's starting to creep into my head with the reports that the Titans supposedly shopped Derrick Henry this weekend,
yeah,
is that they are leaning towards a rebuild. Even though I've been pretty steadfast in saying that Ryan Tannehill was going to be the quarterback for the Titans, and I'm going to believe that until it's not the truth anymore – but it does make me wonder with all these moves, would, you know, like if you take Ryan Tannehill and you put him on that Jets team, they're locked for the playoffs, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whether they win a Super Bowl or not, that's going to be up to the pieces
they're
around
him.
They're
not going to win a Super Bowl with Ryan.
No, but they are a quarterback away from actually being in the conversation and being competitive in the AFC. It's just how far can they go with a Ryan Tannehill type quarterback? Mm-hmm. Rodgers would obviously be their first choice, but I think you're going to have quarterback needy teams that don't want to settle for Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo that would then call the Titans and go and overpay. If you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, you kind of have to think about it, especially with all this talk of them maybe moving up to go get CJ Stroud or another quarterback. And then another thing that I'll add to that is that we all have to consider, you know, when the report came out that, oh, they may be shopping Derrick Henry, people were like, how could they do that? I mean, it's Derrick Henry. He's so loyal. Rand Carthon has no connections to anybody, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
That he can come in with a clear head, collaborate with Mike Vrabel, but make the best decisions for the football team, because I do think that they got to watch their spending because they're putting a lot of money towards the stadium.
If the Titans trade Derrick Henry, do you consider that a rebuild?
I would still probably call it reset. It's kind of like I've said with the Predators, if they traded Saros, that's a rebuild.
That's a rebuild.
Anybody else is more of a reset. Now you trade Yossi, that's a rebuild. Like those key pieces. For the Titans, if you do trade the quarterback and the running back, then I'm going to say rebuild. If you do them both. But, you know, as great as Derrick Henry is, that might be the easiest position to replace on offense. You may not get the same production, obviously. You're going to then rely more on the pass game. But I would call that more reset than anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mike Vrabel has made it abundantly clear, at least to me, that he has zero interest in rebuilding. There are so many things that he has said throughout press conferences in the offseason that made me think that, you know, tearing it completely down, going 2-15 and, you know, drafting in the first, you know, top three in next year's draft, that's not something that is even an option for him. One, I don't think that's even in this team's DNA. Two, I think Mike Vrabel understands that rebuilds, quote-unquote rebuilds, could last a year, it could last five, and he probably won't survive that if it extends into multiple years.
Well, and if I'm him, I'm not signing up for it.
I'm not signing up for my own firing.
No, I'm saying to Amy Adams Strunk, I'm saying to Rand Carthon, I'm like, hey, look, they've called me in Columbus. O-State's called me. They want to talk. If we're going to go rebuild, then I'm going to talk to them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's got leverage.
Whether it's true or not, you're going to start hearing that more and more. Rex Rhodes going to have more columns to write because that's going to be – I could totally see him using that card, and I would use that card because if I'm him, I don't want any part of a rebuild. Now, if you do it right and you move off of Henry this year and you trade Tannehill but you get Stroud and maybe you do – you know, you don't make the playoffs and maybe you suck a little bit this year, you then use that draft – you know, you hope to keep your first-round draft pick – for next year that you can go get a weapon for Stroud, and then you're back at it in 2 years, similar to kind of what the Bengals did. You know, they were able to turn it around pretty quick, but it all fell into place for them because they got Burrow, and then they were able to add those pieces.
But I think the Titans right now are in a great position because they don't need a quarterback right now. They have a quarterback who I still think will be the quarterback in 2023. But the Jets might get into desperation mode. So if I'm the Titans, I'll say, okay, I'll pick up the phone on the Jets. How valuable is a competent quarterback to you? Because there might not be very many competent quarterback options. And you just got your entire fan base excited about Aaron Rodgers, and you dropped the ball. Assuming Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay, he could go to Vegas, wherever it might be. If he doesn't go to the Jets, now the Jets are desperate. Now the Jets have already expressed interest in Ryan Tannehill, that you could leverage Ryan Tannehill into so much more for the future. But then who's your quarterback? That's always got to be a question when you're talking about the conversation of where Ryan Tannehill could go. If it's not in Tennessee, then who's your quarterback?
If they trade him, I think they're moving up to take their guy. They've identified somebody that's their guy. And if they're going to trade Tannehill, then I think that's what they're doing.
I think they would have to.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you're settling. Otherwise you basically are saying one of two things. You're going to go sign Jimmy G and take a step back that way. Or you're gonna sign Josh Dobbs and let Josh Dobbs and Malik Willis duke it out for the starting spot, and suck for, you know, Drake May or Caleb Williams or one of those guys.
Yeah,
next year.
And that's so hard to do.
Yeah,
like I don't think that Mike Vrabel wants to do that.
And with this defense, can they do that? Like, that's the other part of it. You know, if you're keeping Simmons and going to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons, which you should. Mm-hmm. This defense is still good enough that even with a really bad offense like you would have and they've had this year, they could be middle of the pack where they're picking 11 or 12 and you're not going to land one of those guys.
Right. And it's tough to project that too, because you could say that right now. Like, I hear so many Titans fans saying, you know, tank for Caleb Williams. One, they don't want to do that. They have expressed no interest in tanking. Two, how do you know that right now, like, the Caleb Williams that we know right now is going to be the Caleb Williams of next year?
Right.
I seem to remember Spencer Rattler at the beginning of, what, the 2020 season, 2021 season, of him being a projected top five pick. And now I don't think that I don't know how much of a future there is for Spencer Rattler in the NFL. Things change. And knock on wood, I don't want that to happen to Caleb Williams or a Drake May or any of their draft stock to plummet. But Sam Howell was like the shiny toy at the beginning of this past season, and or maybe two seasons ago, going into his final season in college football, and he went in the third round.
Yeah.
So things change throughout the season. So I'm not going to put all of my eggs into a Caleb Williams basket or a Drake May basket, knowing there's so many things that could happen within the next year.
Right. I think on paper, the quarterback class for next year looks really good. Like, it looks very enticing.
It does. And it does.
I have a huge man crush on Drake May. Like, I am all in on some Drake May. Like, I think he's fantastic. But like you said, things could change.
Yeah. I mean, anything could change. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on that, Derek Carr to the Saints. What does that mean for the quarterback carousel? What does that mean for the Tennessee Titans? Does Ryan Tannehill look that much more intriguing to the New York Jets? What could happen on the quarterback carousel from there? Plus, the Titans report that they have been shopping Derrick Henry at the NFL Combine. What exactly does that mean? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
I want to start with a report that came out by Michael Silver from the Combine that the Titans were shopping Derrick Henry. Do you buy that, and could you see Derrick Henry actually being moved this offseason?
I buy any scenario other than Jeffrey Simmons not being back with this team. Like, let me start there. Because I think the priority when Rand Carthon came in, the priority if John Robinson were back, it was get Jeffrey Simmons and the extension done, first and foremost. Now with the GM change and the regime looking beyond 2023, knowing they've got to build back a roster that was, not the roster that is, yeah, I think any option is on the table, starting with Tannehill and Henry. And those two guys will tell us more or less the direction that we're going to witness in 2023. This is a team that decided at the time to invest heavily in running back. And because of that, they couldn't pay guys like Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith. And when it came time, they had money invested in Tannehill and Henry and not A.J. Brown. And when they restructured and kicked the can down the road a bit with Henry's contract last year, what it really became was a one-year contract that made him movable this year, whether through release, through a trade, they could also restructure and continue to build around him in the backfield.
There you go. That was Jonathan Hutton on Chase and Michelle. The report coming out from Bally Sports, Michael Silver, that the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry. I know when Titans fans hear that, because I see it in the text line, I've heard it in your phone calls, I've seen it on Twitter. What in the world are the Titans doing? If they trade Derrick Henry, I'm selling my season tickets, I'm getting rid of all of my stuff, I'm not going to be a fan of this team. Okay. Okay, calm down.
I've heard that before.
Calm down. I've heard that a lot before. But here's the point. One, shopping Derrick Henry could mean one of a million different things. It could mean that the Titans are ready to trade Derrick Henry today and they're getting offers on the table and they're fielding those offers. It could, one, just be, hey, let's test the market. Let's see what the market looks like for Derrick Henry. Let's try and get out earlier with Derrick Henry rather than later, because that is the unfortunate reality with running backs. Once you hit a certain age that Derrick Henry is at 29 years old, you inevitably start to go downhill. That is the history of running backs that we have seen. I understand Derrick Henry does superhuman things. Derrick Henry has done things that no other running backs have done before. I get it. So if there's anybody that could, you know, stand the test of time of running backs, it's Derrick Henry. I hear ya. But the shopping part of all of this could mean a million different things. It doesn't mean that Derrick Henry. It's seeing what's out there. And you know what? Good. The Titans should shop Derrick Henry. The Titans should shop some of the pieces that they would be willing to move on from going into this season, because that's how you get better. When you hold on to players for too long and you pay them more money and extend them for more years and keep them on your books, even when they're not producing, that's when you get bad. And that's when you start overpaying players that are always hurt or too old or can't give you the same production. We saw that with Julio Jones. The Titans thought they could get the 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18 production out of Julio Jones. And in reality, he was too old and too hurt, and the Titans paid him too much money, and they got burned because of it. The Titans should be shopping Derrick Henry. They're doing their due diligence. They should be fielding offers. They should be looking at the market, because there might be a team out there that's willing to give you a second-round pick for Derrick Henry. I would be totally fine with that return. Just see what's out there. It doesn't mean he's going to be gone tomorrow, but it also means that the Titans are open to more options in 2023, and they should be.
Absolutely, they should be. I mean, and again, as I said earlier, Caroline, Rand Carthon has no allegiances to anybody. I mean, he can respect Derrick Henry in the running back position because he played running back and go, man, I mean, this is one of the best to ever do it. He's, I believe, going to be a Hall of Famer. But you got to look, just like the Predators have, a few steps ahead and look at the future. And, oh, by the way, if you're opening a new stadium in 2026, you want to have a good team. You want to be a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl. You want to be one of those teams that can be in the running when your city does get a Super Bowl and can host it, that you could actually play in it. I mean, those are all things that they need to be thinking about. And I'm sure Amy Adams Strunk is, because she's the one putting a lot of money into that new stadium. So I think it's, you know, it's one thing to do your due diligence, see what the price is, because, you know, to use an old wrestling quote, everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that if somebody overpaid and came along and said, you know, we'll give you this, you know, I mean, I'll just, we'll give you a first round pick for Derrick Henry, you're probably going to take that. Like, you need to, I mean, that's,
oh, absolutely,
because he's not
that.
Like, no offense to Derrick, he's not worth a first round pick at the running back position, but
right.
You know, I'm just using that as an example. You're probably not going to get that, but it's just like Tannehill. If you're getting the right offer, you got to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's doing. I think he knows some GMs. He's getting to know GMs. He's feeling it out. You know, he wants to make a splash as a new GM. I think it's worth making some calls.
And I think the next question is now that they're making these calls, they're having these conversations, it's at least on the table of the Titans moving on from Derrick Henry. I think the obvious next question has to be, okay, then what does your team look like in 2023? What does your offense look like in 2023? Because so much of the success of this offense and the success of Ryan Tannehill relies on play action. And no, you know, Derrick Henry is not the only running back in the league that you can run play action with. But Derrick Henry is an obvious threat to any defense that you play, even at 29 years old. So are you able to mimic or recreate that kind of threat? Probably not. But then how else do you overcome that in this offense? Can Ryan Tannehill be successful in this offense without Derrick Henry? What can our expectations be for this offense, for this team, in Tim Kelly's first year as offensive coordinator without a Derrick Henry, without that threat of Derrick Henry? And I don't know the answer to that question. But that's a reality that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have to look into. If this is a serious question or a serious conversation that they're going to have of moving on from Derrick Henry, then what's your plan moving forward?
Right. Yeah, and I think they're doing that. I mean, I think that those – and that's why I believe it's good for Vrabel, too, to hear an outside, you know, outside name. And, you know, I'm making these comparisons, but it's just like, even though Barry Trotz obviously has – you know, ties to the Predators, he hadn't been here for almost 10 years. And so now he's coming in. He didn't have any connections to a lot of these players. You know, maybe a few. Obviously, Yossi's one of them. But you make the move. You make the move to make your team better. And I believe that those serious and real conversations are happening over on Great Circle Road right now. And they're uncomfortable. But, you know, I think sometimes we get too comfortable, and you got to get uncomfortable to move forward with what you want to do. And that's what I believe the Tennessee Titans are doing and need to do.
And I also see a lot of these reports, you know, a lot of the reaction to Michael Silver's report that the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry. A lot of the reaction to that has been, well, the Titans are selling off a lot of veteran pieces, Robert Woods, now Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, Randy Bullock. And they're saying that this move with Derrick Henry would kind of follow in that same trend. But I think it's almost disrespectful to Derrick Henry to name his name in that same group of players who got released. And that's no disrespect to Taylor Lewan. It's no disrespect to Robert Woods. But those pieces that the Titans moved on from, Bud Dupree included, those seemed like obvious moves to me. They were too expensive and always hurt. They were unreliable. Robert Woods couldn't catch a cold. Taylor Lewan was on and off the field over the past few years. You know, Bud Dupree was almost like an injury report roulette every single week. Is Bud going to play or is he going to have a hip issue? Is Bud going to play or does he have a shoulder issue? Whatever it might be. So those players, it seemed like obvious players to move on from. With Derrick Henry, it's not an obvious player to move on from. I mean, that is upending a huge part of your team, a huge part of your leadership, huge part of your core, of your offense, the style of offense that you play. You know, a player that this team is built around, it's not an obvious move to move on from Derrick Henry. So don't tell me that the moves to move on from Bud Dupree and Taylor Lewan and Robert Woods are setting some sort of trend that Derrick Henry is going to follow suit in. I think those are two completely different conversations.
Yeah, no, I do too, and I agree with you that they don't need to be in the same breath. It's very, very different. The Bud Dupree thing is one of those that, like, I'm not surprised that they ended up doing it, but I do think they probably tried to work something out and restructure. And, you know, look, if he hits the market, nobody's interested, maybe you circle back and say, hey, you know, we'll bring you back on this deal if you want to play. But I'm not opposed to that, just not on the money he's making. So, but I have a feeling somebody will pick him up.
I'm sure they will. And I say the same thing about Taylor Lewan that I will with Bud Dupree, is even if you bring him back on a more team-friendly deal, that's still no guarantee that they're going to be healthy.
Right.
Even if you bring Taylor Lewan back on, let's say, $6 million a year, if he's not available, if he follows the same trend that he's been following over the past couple of years, well, then that's still $6 million that goes wasted. It's better than $14 million, but it's still a roster spot and it's still money that's going unused to a player who's been unavailable. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. He first had the scoop about Jeffrey Simmons and his social media. What has he heard about the contract negotiations? What did he hear at the combine? All of that coming up next with TD. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.